That means James Wood might get to swing the bat.
Infield in for the Angels. Outfield or, shading the opposite way. And now,
or not.
No, they're going to walk him for the fourth straight plate appearance. Well, not even the Angels fans are groaning about that. So James Wood has doubled his intentional walk total. Four coming into the game. He's been walked his last four times to the plate in the fifth, seventh, ninth, and 11th innings.
Charlie and Dave on the call yesterday. The Nats did beat the Angels 7-4 in extras, but James Wood became the first major leaguer since Barry Bonds to be intentionally walked four times in a game. Bonds was intentionally walked four times in four different games back in 2004. The only other player since at least 1955 to be intentionally walked four times in a game are James Wood, Roger Maris, Gary Templeton, Manny Ramirez, and Andre Dawson. Dawson, by the way, drew five intentional walks for the Cubs against the Reds back in 1990. James Wood is a star in the making. This dude is incredible. By the way, Sunday marked his 163rd game. So in his first 162, so he's played now a full season, 31 homers, 105 RBIs. Those are comparable stats to what Harper did in his first 162. He was at 31 and 77 RBIs. Soto was also at 31 home runs and 107 RBIs. James Wood, if you're not paying attention to the Nats, who aren't very good, is a superstar, and he'll very likely be in the All-Star game in a couple of weeks. Good morning, everybody. There is Jaden Daniels talk on the show today. Maybe a lot of it. PFF put out a career ceiling comp for Jaden Daniels and a career floor. So a career best case, who will he be? Career floor, career bottom, worst case, who will he be? PFF has answers to both. We won't take long to get to both of those things. Max is here with me. Two guests on the show. Ben will join us at 10. Joel Corey was with me on Friday on my podcast talking about Terry McLaurin. You will hear some of that. Joel's been a longtime salary cap and contract expert for CBS Sports and was a longtime NFL agent. We love J.I. Halsell. We like Joel Corey. Just two different perspectives. Actually, they're similar on where this Terry McLaurin thing is going. I guess somebody sent me something. I don't know whether it was recent or not. I could not find whether or not it was super recent, but Albert Breer was on a show saying things remain distant between Terry and the team, but he still thinks it will get done. I wanted to read this from Pete. Pete is an Eagles fan, admittedly, up front. He wrote, "Kevin, the dumpster fire article, which we talked about last week, the gentleman in Jimmy Kempsky, I think it was, the phillyvoice.com, did all four NFC East teams, including his own team, the Philadelphia Eagles, came up with 10 reasons the Skins would be a dumpster fire in 2025. And so Pete, an Eagles fan, writes, "Kevin, the dumpster fire article had some very good reasoning behind it. And don't forget the one game that Washington won. Jalen Hurts got hurt early. Devontae Smith dropped a wide open pass. And the refs missed an obvious false start on the game-winning play. We should have swept you guys." You know what, Pete? It's funny because that was a game, man. December 22nd, 2024, Northwest Stadium, late in the season, three games left in the season. Washington really only needs to win two of the three to clinch a playoff berth, maybe only one of the three. And they're down 21-7 early against the Eagles. Jalen Hurts gets hurt. He's out. 5 turnovers in the game for Washington, and yet somehow Jaden Daniels threw 5 touchdowns and had one of the great games of his rookie season. In fact, I went back after reading Pete's email last week, and I went through some of my notes from that game, and I called that game the masterpiece of Jaden Daniels' rookie year, even though it was imperfect because he did throw a rather awful interception in the fourth quarter. But that game was truly his masterpiece. He had, in the game, he threw for 258 yards, 5 touchdowns. He rushed for 81 yards on 9 carries. He had a 4th down and 11 on the final play of the third quarter when Washington was down 27-14 and hanging by, you know, a thread. And he scrambled for 29 yards on a 4th and 11 that kept them alive. He threw everything you could imagine in that game. Quick game, screens, sideline timing shots, deep shots, over the middle with anticipation. And I called it the masterpiece of his rookie season. It turned out that game was only the 2nd game in NFL history played like it. I had forgotten that, but only 2 quarterbacks in the history of the game had thrown for more than 250, rushed for more than 75, and thrown for 5 touchdowns in a game. And the other was Cam Newton during his MVP season in 2015. The 4th and 11 was a spectacular play. There's another run he has on 4th and 4, which is insane. And then, of course, 3 touchdown drives, including a 2-point conversion at the end, 22 points on 4 possessions in the 4th quarter to overcome 5 turnovers in a big deficit, including a 13-point deficit in the 4th quarter, to beat the Eagles 36-33. Now, when Pete wrote what he wrote, I certainly remember Jalen Hurts getting hurt and leaving the game. And in my game notes, I said that was the most impactful play of the game because Washington had already planned to load the box to try to slow Philadelphia down from running the football. But without Hurts as part of the run game, Philly was a different team. It wasn't necessarily that Kenny Pickett, you know, wasn't going to be out there with the ability to throw it, but he couldn't run it. The quarterback was not a part of the run game without Jalen Hurts in the game, and it changed the game completely. Now, Jalen Hurts, as we said many times from the moment that game ended through the entire offseason, and we're saying it again today, he does not play defense. And they couldn't stop Washington when the game mattered most. And Jaden Daniels was incredible. I certainly remember Hurts getting injured. I certainly remember Devontae Smith dropping that 3rd down pass. Philadelphia is up 30-28. It's the 2-minute warning, right before the 2-minute warning. It's 3rd down and 5. And Kenny Pickett, if you recall, didn't play poorly in relief. He actually played pretty well in the game. And on 3rd and 5, he's got a wide open Devontae Smith who completely loses Noah Eye on the route. And he's wide open and Pickett puts it there right on time, right between the numbers, and he dropped it. If he catches it, it's probably game over. Washington would have had 1 timeout after the 2-minute warning. So even if they held Philly to a field goal or without getting another first down, they would have gotten it back with, you know, 20-something seconds left, down by 5. Now, they had, you know, overcome that against Chicago with a Hail Mary. You certainly wouldn't put it past them, but that would have been near game over. What I didn't remember, though, and I went back and watched, was Cornelius Lucas on the game-winning touchdown pass to Jamison Crowder false starting, which he definitely did. He definitely did. But that wouldn't have ended the game. Washington still would have had, the clock would have, you know, stopped and it would have been right where it was, and Washington would have had another opportunity instead of from the Philadelphia 9 or 10-yard line from the 14 or 15-yard line. But God, that touchdown pass to Crowder was spectacular. Spectacular. Such great timing on the throw. Yeah, that was a great game. That was... a masterpiece with imperfections, but still a masterpiece. It was his best QBR game of the year, 96.3 QBR in the game. He had multiple 90-pluses during the course of the season, the Cincinnati game on Monday Night Football, the Arizona game, which was the week after that Monday Night game. He was incredible against the Giants on the road at a 95.7 QBR, and then the 96.3 was his highest QBR, for whatever it's worth, better than passer rating, still not perfect, of the season, and then he had 91.8 against the Lions in the postseason. I mean, he was spectacular. But who's going to ever forget that game? I did not recall until I'm like, what false start is he talking about? Yeah, Cornelius Lucas definitely false started from the right tackle position on the game-winning touchdown pass. I had forgotten that. You know, look, you can go through all of last season, as we have many times, and talk about the good fortune that they had. You know, it started in week two with the Giants missing their kicker, which obviously impacted a game in which it was a three-point walk-off field goal. They missed three extra points, you know, or missed two-pointers. And Malik Nabers, by the way, dropped a pass on fourth down. I mean, there were two fourth-down drops or two big drops in the season that Washington benefited from. Obviously, the Hail Mary game. I mean, you know, how many times do you complete that? The New Orleans game. You know, New Orleans had a two-point conversion to win the game. It was a catchable ball. It was a good, well-defended play. The Philly game, you know, there was good fortune there. Atlanta missed a field goal at the gun in regulation, and the game went to overtime. That was a super long field goal. I think it was 55 yards, but they missed that. The overarching theme about 2024 was not like this inside straight, you know, good fortune, good luck season. It's not what it was. It was a season about a quarterback taking over and strapping a team to his back and leading them to 12 wins in the midst of the greatest rookie quarterback season of all time and one of the best recent quarterback seasons of all time. And why would that change? Why would he be any less in year two? I mean, some people have theories as to that. I don't see it coming. Health is everything for him. So anyway, I do want to start the show with this thing that many of you sent me. It's a PFF story about ceilings and floors on every second-year NFL quarterback. So you take, you know, all of these six that were taken in the draft last year, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix. And PFF wrote a column, ceilings and floors for every second-year quarterback in terms of, you know, what they will eventually become. Caleb Williams, the ceiling, Jordan Love. That's really his ceiling? Isn't his ceiling higher than Jordan Love? And then his floor is just bust. I do think that is the floor for Caleb Williams. Bust seems right. On Drake May, the ceiling is Trevor Lawrence. The floor is Daniel Jones. Michael Penix Jr., the ceiling is Justin Herbert. The floor is Jameis Winston. I like Michael Penix Jr. I have a feeling he's going to be really good. The key with him, of course, is also staying healthy because he's had some serious injuries in his college career for sure. J.J. McCarthy, who's not taken one NFL snap. The ceiling is Joe Burrow and the floor is Sam Darnold. And then for Bo Nix, the ceiling is Drew Brees. Part of that, I'm sure, is because he plays for Sean Payton. And the floor is Mac Jones. So now we come to Jaden Daniels. And they've got a ceiling for Jaden, and they've got a floor for Jaden. This is ceilings and floors for every second-year NFL quarterback ahead of the 2025 season. Daniels was otherworldly, they write, in his first NFL campaign, etching his name into PFF history. His ceiling is now that of Lamar Jackson. And his floor remains incredibly high. So the floor, in terms of worst case, is a quarterback currently in the NFL. I want us to think of quarterbacks that have played in the NFL, not just quarterbacks in the NFL. I want your ceiling, what you think Jaden Daniels will become, and I want your floor. It can, I think there is, it's not just the success of the career. There has to be a comparable stylistically. Lamar Jackson is a comparable stylistically in terms of the ceiling. Now, I think Jaden's ceiling is higher than Lamar Jackson's, and I'll get to my ceiling comp on Jaden Daniels here shortly. The floor quarterback for Jaden, I'll tell you who that is when we come back, but that is a current quarterback on the PFF list as well, and I'll tell you what they wrote about Jaden. But I want you to think about, what's Jaden's career ceiling? It doesn't have to be a quarterback in the NFL now. It can be a quarterback from the past. Who do you think Jaden Daniels' best case ceiling will become? And then what do you think his floor is, the absolute worst case for Jaden Daniels? Give me a comp for that too. 301-230-0980. I'll give you PFF's floor. The ceiling is Lamar Jackson. I'll give you PFF's floor for Jaden Daniels. Then I'll give you my ceiling and my floor, and Max will do the same, but I want your calls at 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, we are also streaming on the Team 980 YouTube page. Craig's on from 4 to 7. I'm on from 10 to 1. Don't forget, like the stream and subscribe to the stream, that is, not the scream, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports.